And welcome back to Coast AM. Tonight is going to be a very important, critical program for you. We're going to talk about two things. One, of course, 1 second after William Forstgen back with us as we talk about EMPs, electromagnetic pulses, what happens if somebody detonates an atomic bomb in the atmosphere, how does that affect us, and also his new work, which is coming out in several months, Pillar to the Sky. It's about a space elevator. It's his novel, but it's an incredible story. So we've got lots on our plate for you tonight, and we'll get right into it when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, William Forstgen with us, and he's going to be with us for the full program tonight. So I'm going to talk with him about two subjects dear to his heart that we've talked about before, and the other one, of course, with his new work, The Pillar to the Sky, but 1 second after, which, of course, is a critically important book and research about the dangers of electromagnetic pulse. And welcome back to Coast. William, how are you?
George, it's good to be with you again.
You too. And again, we've had a great response every time you're on. You're just doing, as we say in the Navy, William, yeoman's work. Thank you.
Well, I always appreciate the fact that you're getting the word out there and making people aware of the threat issues regarding EMP and CME.
And let's tell some of our new listeners a little bit about you, William. Of course, you're a professor of history and faculty fellow at Montreat College in Montreat, North Carolina. You received your doctorate from Purdue University with the specializations in military history and the Civil War. You, of course, spent some time at NASA looking at research and development of various future technologies, which we'll talk about, space elevators. And, of course, you have looked at the dangers of EMP. What is the latest? You know, you were just on with me reacting to that news item a few days ago of the scientists at University of Colorado in Boulder who are talking about the possibility of a flare from the sun or something that will hit us. It's going to happen eventually, isn't it?
Oh, it's a mathematical certainty. It's eventually going to happen. You and I have talked before about what's known as the Carrington event, which took place in 1859, a major solar flare that technically it's called a CME, coronal mass ejection, that when it hit the Earth's upper atmosphere, triggers a major electromagnetic disturbance. In 1859, it blew out the technology of its day, telegraphy systems, which by today's standards were way overbuilt compared to the delicate electronics we have today. Telegraphy stations actually caught on fire from the current feeding from this storm into their centers. Copper wires were melting off the telephone poles. Railroad ties were catching on fire. Imagine that level of electromagnetic disturbance hitting our infrastructure today. It would be a global disaster.
The work you've done, Bill Maloof has done some work. What's happening in terms of legislation or smarts to insulate the grid? Anything?
Since we're on live radio, I can't have a Tourette syndrome meltdown with you.
No, tonight. Don't do that.
No, get ready with the delete button. On the federal level, we do have, yet again, another bill going through, SHIELD Act, which some remarkable folks have been working on for years. We did have a bill get all the way through the House a couple of years back, complete bipartisan support. This is not an issue of Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. This was bipartisan support, and one member of the Senate held it up, shelved it in committee, it disappeared. I fear the same thing might happen again. Didn't have the right pork for this particular senator. What we're seeing, though, is at a state level, Maine led the way with passing a bill earlier this year that's going to start pushing for hardening of infrastructure. And my home state here in North Carolina is they're getting set to put a bill on the floor early next year. I was down in Raleigh a couple weeks ago to testify for that. So we're starting to see state-level action, at least. And I hope your listeners are agitating their state representatives to get out there and do something about these threats.
I have noticed that some power companies are now trying to convert from above ground lines to underground lines. Will that help?
No.
Not
in terms of protection against both EMP, electromagnetic pulse, which is a military situation, or a solar storm. Remember, the Earth is like a giant magnetic field. It doesn't stop at the Earth's surface. When the Soviets, back in the early 60s, detonated a nuclear device above Kazakhstan, one of their own territories of their old empire, it blew out power stations. One famous incident on that was feeding along a 500-mile underground cable. It took the jolt right into the power station and blew it out.
Wow.
Burying the lines would protect from, say, some direct terrorist action. And, again, if you live where there's storms, tornadoes, and all that, yeah, it protects against that. But against a CME or an EMP, no, it will not.
William, are we more apt, in your opinion, to get hit with an EMP pulse from an atomic weapon detonated in the atmosphere or an X-flare solar flare from the sun?
Oh, gosh. You're asking me which nightmare keeps me awake tonight. I see absolute 100% probability there will be a major solar event. It happens on a regular cycle. It's there. It just simply happens. A military event, I think the probability is high. There's a complete lunatic running North Korea. He has acquired nuclear weapons. We have let him do so. What's the maximum bang per buck? Detonate a Hiroshima-sized bomb in lower Manhattan? Yes. You're going to create chaos. You're going to create a couple hundred thousand casualties. But it will not destroy all of New York City.
That's right.
Detonate that same weapon 200 miles above New York City, you blow down the power grid, and as congressional reports in 2004 and 2008 pointed out, the fatality rate a year afterwards could be as high as 90%.
Jeez.
If you take the power grid down.
Doesn't he realize, though, that there would be some form of retaliation? And let me ask you this. I mean, would we be able to launch and retaliate? I guess our subs would work, but what happens to communications? Where's the military backup in a case like that?
Well, we have, of course, you know, you hit our primary retaliatory instrument, which is our submarine launch ballistic missiles. When we were developing those defense systems in the 50s and the 60s, we were dealing with a foe that ultimately was rational. I have seriously say I thank God, as a Christian, that the Soviets were atheists, because rationalists that they were, they did not want to inherit a smoking room.
Right.
Therefore, in our standoff in the Cold War, you know, you and I remember what was called MAD, Mutual Assured Destruction. You blow
That's
us up, we blow,
we'll blow
you
up.
Nobody
That's
wins.
Right.
Let's not do it.
That's right.
Will that argument work with that little twerp in North Korea? Or with some of the madmen who are running Iran? It might
well,
not.
That's, that, it might not. They may be suicidal. And we've seen
exactly
what they do with, on one end, we see what they do with, you know, their own vest bombs and things like that. But I tend to think deep down inside, William, that the leaders there are chicken. I think they're more verbal than they are anything else. I don't know. That's just my take. I hope I'm right.
Well, they certainly are very quick to tell their kids to strap on suicide bombs and go out and die while they're sitting back with their multiple wives and their billion-dollar fortune.
Exactly. They don't go, but they send the little kids there and the underprivileged, you know, the people that don't have
right.
the kind of hope that they should have. You know, right. Yeah. And
That's one of the byproducts of a polygamous society. You know, the rich mullahs and such, you know, they have their multiple wives and everything else, and those kids who are more males who are marginalized now, it's like, go out and kill somebody. You can have 72 girlfriends in heaven.
Yeah, yeah, they don't
That's a hell of a motivator for a 20-year-old.
But you are right. I mean, in the hands of a lunatic, who knows what will happen? So I guess one of the questions, at least on the atomic weapon EMP end, are we going to let the lunatics get these weapons? I mean, so North Korea already has it. How did that skate by? And we're creating this issue with Iran. Who knows what's going to happen there? But how did we let North Korea get an atomic weapon? I guess the guy from Pakistan was able to con. He was able to help them. But how did we let that happen?
Well, who do we finger point at? I mean, from the top down. My political leanings, I think, are kind of obvious. I look at the Clinton administration at a time when North Korea did not have nuclear capacity yet. And there was all the threatening, you know, alleged threats from us, which they ignored and kept right on going. It continued on through the Bush administration, and it's definitely continuing on now. Hey, I grew up in New Jersey. I mean, I think the reaction basically is it's like they're giving us the middle finger. We're going to keep on doing it no matter what, and they have. They've acquired nuclear weapons. You don't need a sophisticated launch system, George.
No, you don't. You don't. You could literally do this a boat. You can do it on a ship, couldn't you?
Right. You don't need an intercontinental boat. I remember when the North Koreans did their launch. It was 3 or 4 years back, testing an intercontinental range missile, and the current administration's mouthpieces were saying, oh, it was a failure, they don't have accurate guidance systems, they don't have reentry systems, blah, 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 blah. Well, heck with that. You could take a World War II era V-2 rocket, put a nuke on top of it, launch it straight up 200 miles from off the coastline, bang, game ender.
And you don't know who has done it. That's the other problem.
Right.
You know, when we talk about the retaliation, if there's a ship that we somehow mistrack and it launches, we don't know who the origin of that ship might be. We don't know where it came from. So you can't blame the Russians. You can't blame the Chinese. You might not be able to blame the North Koreans. Who did it? So what do? Well, attack everybody?
You're at this moment broadcasting out of California, are you not?
Well, I'm in St. Louis right now, but I'm, you know, I,
okay.
But that's where the base is, in Los Angeles.
So did you happen to be walking on the beach the day Rocket took off and we're told it was an optical illusion? Well, it sure as hell looked like an SLBM to me, you know, submarine launched ballistic missile.
Yeah.
Folks on the coast of California saw it.
I remember that.
Do we know where that came from? Was it China? Was it Russia? Was it North Korea?
Was it us? Yeah, somebody did it. Exactly.
And I think I know you're more up to speed on that one than I am. Can I ask you a question? What's your take on that?
I think the Chinese did it. I think it was a show of force. I think they wanted to say, look what we can do. And, you know, they've already talked about parking their subs, as we have subs parked all over the place too. I mean, let's make no mistake about that. You know, I spent 9 years in the Navy. I know this. We have nukes in subs all over the planet, and they could probably hit a targeted city within 7 minutes.
Right.
So they're just doing.
My numbers could very well be wrong, but I think a Boomer carries upwards of what, 24?
Close to it.
Launch
That's
vehicles,
right.
Each one has 8 to 10 warheads on it.
Yep.
It can annihilate an entire nation. But going back to our earlier point, if the nation's run by madmen or a complete psychotic like in North Korea, do they care?
Let me ask you this. A submarine commander, he's got control of this nuclear sub. All of a sudden, he gets no communication from the mainland at all. It's gone. It's been obliterated. There is no more United States. Is he told launch? But who does he launch against? Or does he just fire them off to everybody? What does he do?
Right. Right.
And then do sounds we like have, and then like that Denzel Washington movie.
I was going to say, it sounds like a Denzel Washington, which says synchronicity here.
Yeah, and he sits back and he goes, no, there's a mistake. you don't launch. We cannot do this. How many commanders would have the guts to launch when they've lost communication with the mainland here? You know, really thinking we've been obliterated, where maybe it's just a technical mistake, and they don't want to be responsible for ending the planet. It's a mess.
Do you recall the Norwegian incident? I think it was in 93 that took us right to the edge of a thermonuclear war.
Tell me about that one.
I'm willing to bet I'm getting the date wrong. The analysis of data that we're doing all the time was indicating to the Russians that a war game that we were staging might actually be the cover for the real thing. In the middle of the buildup of tension, the Norwegians fired off a missile as a test and had not pre-announced it. And for a very tense 10 minutes, the Russian defense system was looking at this as a first strike coming in on Moscow, and they were shouting at Boris Yeltsin, launch. This is it. They're going for us. This was right when the Soviet Union had collapsed, and they thought it was a kill strike. My people laugh at Yeltsin. I think he's one of the great men of the 20th century for a number of reasons, and this was one of them. He kept his nerve. He said, no, it's not. Now, somebody with a slightly more itchy trigger finger could have pushed it off right there.
All right, here's the one. It's January 1995. January 1995, the Russian early warning radar detected an unexpected missile launch. The estimated flight time to Moscow was 5 minutes. The Russian president, the defense minister, and chief of staff were informed the early warning and the control and command center switched to combat mode. Within 5 minutes, the radars determined that the missile's impact would be outside the Russian borders. It was a Norwegian missile, as you mentioned. It was launched for scientific measurements, and apparently the Russian Defense Ministry but failed to reach the on-duty personnel of the early warning. Norway had notified 35 countries, including Russia, that the launch was planned. So you're right. That could have been a disaster.
Yeah, it could have been a scientific measurement of how much sweat came pouring off how many Russians in X amount of minutes.
There have been 20 mishaps, they say, that might have started accidental nuclear war. 20 mishaps so far.
Yes.
Hmm.
So we factor in the erratic behavior of North Korea, Iran, or they hand it off to a proxy. They hand the capability of the system off to Al-Qaeda or something like that. And you hit it exactly. Launch off a boat, blow the boat up. How do we respond?
And how do you respond? That's absolutely right.
And then 6 months later, well, okay, you know, in my book, 1 second after, it's about 6 months into the event, and I have a couple characters talking about, well, we think so-and-so did it, to which another character says, does that change anything now, as we're all dying because our infrastructure's gone? Does it change anything?
It is frightening. William, when we come back from this break, I want to talk about the solar flares from the sun and get your take on both of those. I want you to kind of describe what would happen in terms of technologically if we get hit with that X flare. And then next hour, let's spend some time talking about your upcoming new work, Pillar to the Sky. That's about a space elevator, by the way. Let's go up for a ride. That'll be fun. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. 10 days to watch all our television programs. It's going to be a lot of watching, but you can do that for free. Simply go to the website, beyondbelief.com, www.beyondbelief.com, and look at all the various TV shows that we have done and also all the various videos that are available. Just have a great time. And, you know, a lot of units now, you can hook up your large flat screen and receive your internet signal, and you can watch it that way, too. BeyondBelief.com. And welcome back to Coast, William Forstchen with us, of course, author of 1 Second After. Next hour, we'll talk about his latest upcoming book, Pillar to the Sky. William, what would be worse, to get hit by a huge X-flare like the Carrington size or an atomic explosion in the atmosphere? If you had to pick one, what would you pick?
That's like Bill, do you want to be run over by a train or do you want to be dropped from an airplane at 30,000 feet?
That's what I thought.
They're both very bad days for humanity. Globally, it would be the solar flare, because that, across a span of 24, 48 hours, could wipe out the infrastructure of almost the entire globe from 10 to 15 degrees north, south of the equator.
Well, and at least
industrialized region.
At least any country that is facing the sun at the time it hits us, right?
Right. But actually, it's like a bell echoing. It's going to resonate through the entire magnetosphere. And across a span of 24, 48 hours, it devastates everything. Versus the deployment of a nuke is a line of sight event, of which optimum altitude. Let me say something right here. It's very important. I don't deal in anything classified. I have no security clearance, so everything I work with is declassified. So
you're not Edward Snowden,
the government,
right?
I'm not revealing anything. This is all public information. Optimum altitude is about 200 miles. That, if detonated over Kansas, would take everything from California to Maine.
Wow. Wow. And how far north and south? The same?
Well, the line of sight radius would be, I don't have the formula in front of me, I think at 200 miles up, it's easily a couple thousand miles.
Both
so
ways.
It would take out part of Canada, Mexico's grid as well.
Okay.
And down into the Caribbean.
Unbelievable.
Though the perfect storm theory on doing an EMP strike on America would be detonation of three weapons, one over Ohio, one over the central United States, and one out, say, over Nevada or Utah, because the intensity dissipates out the further you get.
And technologically, William, this is 100% certainty. If something like that occurred, it would take down the grid?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, if there are folks listening that go, Georgia, did you really got somebody with a tinfoil hat on tonight? after we're off the air, look up Starfish. Starfish Prime, two words. It was a test conducted by the United States in the early 1960s where we detonated a weapon over Johnson Island about 500 miles south of Hawaii. And everybody startled disbelief. It blew out some of the power grid of Hawaii. Now, remember, that's a 1960 technology power grid.
Unbelievable.
Way overbuilt as compared to today. Also look up Soviet test number 184. You'll find hundreds of sites on these two tests, which clearly demonstrate EMP is real, it's deadly, it's a game ender.
Is there any way, given the fact that all these nations are going to have high technology, even more so in the next 10 years, that as humans, we all get together and stop this nonsense, William?
Yeah. I never liked John Lennon. I mean, all we're saying is give peace a chance.
But he played great music.
Yeah, he did. Though I was more of an Emerson, Lake, and Palmer fan. But, I mean, go tell it to the Carthaginians. Remember Third Punic War? I mean, the Carthaginians had lost the second one with Hannibal.
Mm-hmm.
They lived in peace for 50 years. They were not a threat to the Romans. And one day the Romans figured, you know, they could be a threat someday, so we'll just annihilate them while
they
got
could be.
The opportunity
right.
to do so. Yeah. It's been that way throughout history. I'm not placing any great stock that we're all going to get together, we're all going to eat granola together, and we're all going to sing, give peace a chance, and we're going to put all our weapons away. I wish it was true.
Me too. I got to tell you something.
World for our kids.
When I was in high school, in my history class, the teacher had us write a position paper about anything we wanted about the future and about history. And I elected to write a story basically saying that as a country, you have two choices. you can go along with the program and have every nation technologically catch up to you, maybe surpass you, but one day you could be in grave danger because everybody's got the same kind of technology, or you could take the position, as inhumane as it might seem, and annihilate other countries to prevent them from having the high technology that you have. And I wrote both of those stories, and I concluded that humanity probably wasn't going to do what it had to do to survive because it's inhumane, which means that annihilation is probably going to happen to us and to other nations because of some idiot who pushes the button. That was my conclusion back when I was 17 years old.
It was a very valid one. And I concur. And I heard some news item a couple of days ago about how hated America is around the world. And as an American, the intense pride I have in my country. We have had the power to do that to the world since 1945. Did
Absolutely.
We do it?
Yeah.
No. We have been a force for peace and stability.
We only did it to Japan to stop the war.
There's military history. There's a lot of debate about the morality of a preemptive first strike, meaning you perceive a threat from your opponent and rather than sit back and let it unfold, you just take them out now and get it over with. I do believe that in terms of the threat of EMP, if we have clear evidence that somebody is going to do this to us, we have to act first. I don't mean an annihilation of blanketing them with nuclear weapons, but making it very clear, we're going to stop you before you even start to seriously think about it.
Why aren't the Russians and the Chinese and the Indians, why aren't they concerned about North Korea or Iran possessing nukes? Why are we the ones concerned? So it tells me that there's a political thing going on here in terms of what have we done to be so hated where these other nations, they don't seem to be worried about it. I mean, I think they'd freely say to the Iranians and the North Koreans, sure, you can have nukes, because I don't think you're ever going to use them against us. Where's that difference? Why aren't they afraid of those other nations?
Because we are the tall guy on the block. At least we were. I mean, we're rapidly losing that position. If you look at it from a Soviet, and I use that word deliberately, yes, Russians today, but the leadership, I mean, come on.
They're same.
They were part of the Soviet system. They lost their empire. We had an incredible president. Great Britain had an incredible prime minister. There was also a pope in the Vatican who wanted to see his country free. And that coalition bought down the Soviet empire. Made it very clear.
Without firing a single bullet.
A shot. Yeah. Right. Right. You and I lived through that time, and we remember the panic from some people. Oh, Ronald Reagan's going to cause World War III. No, Ronald Reagan dismantled the Soviet Empire in the end. I was in that country in 86, and I was awed by the number of Russians who were coming up to me saying, Ronald Reagan's our hero. He's going to help set us free from this evil empire. And he did. So if to respond to your question, there's a lot of hatred from that failed leadership that would love to see us taken down a couple of notches, in fact, taken off the map. Their assumption is their proxy players like North Korea or Iran will aim their resources at us and not them. But you play with nuclear fire, it can backfire on you real easy. And if we got hit, I think before it was all done, the whole world would be consumed.
I think you're absolutely right. I think people need to remember, and those people who may go to sleep tonight worried about this possibility, it is a possibility, we have a number of nuclear submarines with the capability of annihilating this entire world all by themselves. And that's the deterrent. It always was, William. It's not these missile silos based, you know, in North Dakota and South Dakota and every place else. It's those subs. And without those subs, we'd be up a creek, wouldn't we?
Oh, well, your naval heritage comes through. And yes, I fully agree with you. The Boomer, as they're known, the nuke-carrying subs, that's retaliatory capacity against a Russian, Chinese type threat. As we talked about a bit earlier, though, the scary thing is, I mean, hey, the guy executed his own uncle a couple days ago, executed his girlfriend and all their friends.
Yeah, he's insane.
Did one execution by mortar fire.
Yeah.
This guy's a loony.
I don't think he's going to last.
He has nuclear weapons.
Yeah, I have a sneaky feeling some Korean general is going to take him out. I don't know why I feel that way. It's in it's just my little intuition here. So we'll see how that unfolds.
The problem, you know, people, yeah, I feel the same way. I wish it would happen. But people like Saddam Hussein, Stalin, and others, one of the things, the way they stay in power is if somebody does anything, everybody in that person's family out to second cousin or even further is executed.
Right. Brutal.
And that level of terrorism back, who's going to risk that? Or the family itself will stop them. I mean, heck, if I lived in that system, I woke up tomorrow morning and suddenly they're at my door and said, we're going to take you and your daughter out and shoot you. Why? Well, you have a second cousin who tried against the glorious leader. So, goodbye. We as Americans don't understand that level of terrorism to maintain power. Saddam Hussein did it.
Oh, yeah.
We took him out, some people were saying we shouldn't have done it.
His sons were insane. But, you know, there was a point.
Oh, Lord.
You know, with Saddam Hussein, he played ball with us. That's why he was in power. Well, when he decided to take his baseball home, we didn't like that.
Do you recall a video that came out when he was in power, one of the major medias played it, showing an evening's entertainment where the entertainers were doing things like driving nails into their heads?
Yes. They were insane. Those
through their bodies, popping their eyeballs out, things like that. And that was entertainment?
Uday and Kusei, whatever, whoever they were.
Yeah.
These guys would literally, William, if they saw a good-looking woman who was married, walk by the street, they would have the husband killed so they could have their way with her. Yep.
Right.
They should have been taken out a long time ago. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But there are lots of those leaders all over the place still, and the North Korean one is one of them.
He's mild compared to some. The big difference is he has nukes. Some of the others don't.
Yeah. He has nukes. And he's developing the capability of launching them in such a fashion that he's going to be able to hit the mainland of the United States in the next 5 years or sooner, just with those. Now, but I think, and you're absolutely right, the biggest threat is that ship that will have that missile launcher from a rogue nation that has this capability, and we can't identify it. Not going to be a flag on this ship. And, you know, all of us, but I don't know, do we have the kind of technology to see this ship coming close? Or are there so many ships, we don't know where they all are?
Well, you know, we know the statistic of just how many container ships are actually properly inspected.
Not a lot.
After docking, it's very low.
Yes.
And 200 miles off the coast, you might recall a couple of years ago where there was a bit of a panic because a Russian ship disappeared for 2 weeks. Container ship, nobody knew where the heck it was.
Right. Right. Do you remember that 747 that disappeared? Have they ever found it? I don't think they did.
No. Not that I'm aware of.
I wonder what the plan was for that thing.
There have been a lot of anomalies like that. Just disappearances with no answer afterwards.
See, that's where part of the show is. UFOs gobbled them up and took them away. That would be a simple answer, but I don't know if that happened.
At least be somewhat of a rational answer, but let's go back to what we were talking about earlier. Have we ever had an explanation for submarine-launched ballistic missile off the coast of California? No.
Nope.
We're told it's an optical illusion.
At least not a public explanation. They may know, and they're not telling us.
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe they don't know. What would be even scarier, though? If they didn't know, that would scare me even more.
Yeah, that would scare me, too. I'm pretty sure they knew, and they probably even, you know, even knew where the sub was, and this thing was launched, and off, you know, it was obviously didn't have a warhead on it, and you know, I just think the Chinese were probably, there was something was going on between the Chinese and us at that time, and they probably wanted us to know, hey, back off.
Well, there was the incident just a couple of days ago of one of our ships swerving to being forced. You know, there was a game of chicken going on out in international waters between a Chinese ship and ours.
Yeah.
We blinked.
Yep. That's,
you know, off the island. It's near the island that the Japanese and the Russians are squabbling over. Not the Russians, excuse me. Japanese and the Chinese.
Yep. That's going to be a mess. That whole thing's going to be a mess. And I don't know how it's going to unfold. So you know what's probably going to happen? Two things are going to happen. We're going to have a nuke in the atmosphere, and then the next day a solar flare hits us.
Oh, great. Thanks.
There you go.
Now you've given me two nightmares for one night.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be.
Which
look, I can't wait until next hour to talk about Pillar to the Sky so we can enjoy this this moment for a little bit. I mean, unbelievable. But it is a very critically important story. 1 second after the book you wrote about exactly what we're talking about tonight, you cannot stick your head in the sand and pretend it doesn't happen or it's not a possibility. You've got to be aware of it.
Yeah. And be prepared for it individually, as a community, and I hope someday as a country, because as a country, we are not prepared for it.
I had the power go out a few weeks ago in my studio, and I'm on generators, and I had enough juice to get me through the show. I mean, I didn't miss a beat, but... I got to tell you, those generators last 4 hours. And, you know, if this thing had lasted on and on and on, this would have been a mess. People aren't, they're not used to living without power and electricity. You know, if you're in your house and it's 19 degrees out in the winter and your furnace goes out because the power's gone, you're in bad shape.
That's why... I mean, I based 1 second after the data I took from the 2004 congressional report. Dr. Pry, remarkable gentleman, is the one that was publicly stating 90% of all Americans would be dead a year after a major event.
That's frightening. William, when we come back, let's talk about your upcoming work, Pillar to the Sky, Space Elevators. Change gears a little bit. William Forstgen with us right here on Coast to Coast AM.